news that will kick off the program, though, is in regards to the bombshell that was dropped yesterday with Singapore racing set to cease. It's a devastating blow to a lot of racing fans. There's a lot of Australian expats who are living in Singapore at the moment. How this all unfolds is going to be the big question. What happens to the horses that are in work? What happens to the industry participants who are using the industry to earn a living and survive? So the announcement that came through yesterday is that the Singapore government will end racing, the 180-year history of the sport, and the land will be handed back to the government in 2027. The last meeting will be held on the 5th of October in 2024. Niam Chang Meng, who is the club's chairman, said that they were saddened by the decision of the government to close the club, but at the same time, they understand the land needs of Singapore, including housing and other potential uses, such as leisure and recreation. The Singapore Turf Club recognises that the Kranji site is a valuable resource that can help meet the evolving needs and aspirations of the Singaporeans, and they will help transition the business and a smooth end of racing in Singapore. There'd been rumours swirling for weeks, and we know the Singaporean racing industry has been through a tough time since COVID, but this is a hammer blow to those who live and are immersed in the industry. We're going to start the show with Michael Clements, who is the boss of the Singapore Trainers Association and has been in Singapore for 24 years and has 60 horses in work. It's been a big drop from the halcyon days of when one of our greatest horses, one of our greatest sprinters, went to Singapore and won the Chris Flyer in 2008.
White Caddo's running on, Stark Crown, San Zero, Take Over Target and Magnus, Australia roars, Take Over Target's finding something, Magnus on the outside, Take Over Target in front, and he's going to win it! Take Over Target by a half a length, San Zero flew on the outside.
To think when you've got the likes of Take Over Target, Magnus and other stars heading and winning Group 1 races in Singapore, to the demise of the sport, it's happened relatively quickly. And Michael Clements has been there through the highs and now the most low of lows. And he joins us. Appreciate your time, Michael, this morning. First of all, to yourself and all your fellow racing cohorts over there, what's the mood like today? How are you holding up?
Yeah, thanks, mate. Well, morale's pretty low. We're going to have a trainers meeting today to see how we're going to move forward. But, yeah, just pretty devastating that it was just to have the carpet swept under our feet, so to speak, and that clearly the powers that be have been planning this for some time. And, you know, we've been busy rebuilding after COVID and reinvesting, having our owners reinvest. And, you know, a lot of trainers here and owners with a lot of young horses, and to, you know, to have the timeline sort of taken away from us with regard to going forward and preparing these horses for racing, yeah, it's really unsettling and, yeah, pretty difficult time for everybody up here at the moment.
So what happens to the trainers, the jockeys and the workers? Has there been a plan from the government, from the racing industry, that's been set out for you guys to work through what the next 12, 18 months looks like?
Well, there was no dialogue with us whatsoever prior to the announcement. Evidently, the club have indicated that they will be working and engaging with us one-on-one over the next few weeks with regard to the difficulties we're going to be faced with. Evidently, all the turf club staff have been looked after, and that was detailed in their press releases yesterday, but no real direction yet as to, you know, what effect this is going to have on us and our staff going forward.
You're the boss of the Trainers Association in Singapore. How many trainers are there and direct workers that earn a living through the racing industry?
There's 23 racehorse trainers in Singapore. We're staffing about 700 altogether. There's about 350 at the club. As I say, you know, there's a clear passage forward for the club workers, but from our side, nothing yet. It's the club have indicated that they're going to bring in the government agencies to look at upskilling our workers and looking at job replacements for them. But Yeah, that's easier said than done. It's just, you know, to the practicalities of that are pretty difficult from what we see at this stage.
And what about for someone like yourself, Michael, who's been there for 24 years with a family, and it's your home, it's your life. What do you now do?
Yeah, so it's pretty difficult. You know, as a professional racehorse trainer, having done this for the last 35 years, and there's very many trainers in Singapore in a very similar position, you know, to try and upskill ourselves in a different profession with a similar means of income to what we've been accustomed to over the last 4 or 5 years, also just doesn't, you know, very difficult to see a way forward through that. Again, probably we just do need to give it a bit of time, let the dust settle over the next couple of weeks, get feedback from our clients, from our owners, you know, what they would like to be doing with their horses going forward. Yeah, just really unsettling for everybody with regard to the future and everybody's careers.
How has this happened, Michael, from such a strong, vibrant racing hub going back 10 or so years to the end of 160 years of history, 180 years of history? Why has the government turned its back on racing in Singapore?
Well, we moved to the new racecourse 20 years ago from the old racecourse, and at the time, the old racecourse was slotted for redevelopment and housing, and the new racecourse was built 20 years ago. So at this stage, the old racecourse is still just barren land. It hasn't been developed after 20 years after they said it was going to be developed. So we came here 20 years ago to the new racecourse, or just over 20 years. I think at the time, the chairman and board of stewards for probably our first 10 years at the club, they were reasonably well connected with government officials and managed to keep the interest up in horse racing. And, you know, clearly the club was relatively well managed. Evidently what's happened in the last 10 years, there's a new generation of government officials that have come through. The chairman of the clubs and the governing racing stewards, etc., of the club in the last 10 years seem to have been not as well connected into the government areas with regard to keeping the support for racing going. Also evidently not as passionate about horse racing as previous chairmen and boards. And yeah, somehow the management of the club over the last 10 years just hasn't been up to scratch and hasn't been what it was previously. So no doubt COVID was a knock to the industry here as well. Just the betting platforms weren't very well established compared to other jurisdictions where actually racing thrived through COVID. Racing actually was a big knock during COVID in Singapore. So I think it's a number of things, just dropping attendances since racing's been televised. And not different to other trends around other racing jurisdictions around the world where, you know, crowds have dropped off with racing being televised. There's other forms of interest for people, and to some degree racing clearly has dropped off. So yeah, just a number of factors that racing's been faced with and ended up in the situation we're in now.
All eyes will be on Singapore for not just what happens to the industry participants, but also the horses, because animal welfare is one of the most important pillars of racing all around the world now. So how many horses are there in the Singaporean racing industry?
Currently, we have about a population of 700 horses from a high pre-COVID of around about 1,100. The club have indicated that their priority is going to be horse welfare certainly as soon as racing has closed in October next year. However, we just don't believe that they've thought through the logistics of it properly. You know, to try and rehome so many few hundred horses after racing closes, you know, the logistics of it are just haven't been thought through. The club is saying they're going to relocate horses to wherever the owners wish them to go. But I think our biggest fear over the next 16 months up to the time they want to close is going to be a possible collapse of the industry.
Mm.
A lot of trainers and other players in the industry are certainly considering all their options over the next few weeks and months. And, yeah, that's a big concern as to whether we do actually get to October next year. And certainly trainers will be engaging with all of their owners over the next few weeks to work out, how we move forward. But, yeah, to try and to be racing one day at the end of October and then all of a sudden not be racing the next day and sitting with a big horse population, it just hasn't really been thought through, I don't think.
No, it doesn't seem feasible, does it? There's no land in Singapore, we know, so where are the horses going to go to? And also the quality of the horse that race over there, could they be exported to different racing jurisdictions, or would that be, untenable because they're not up to the different classes?
Yeah, definitely. Probably looking at our higher-end horses, maybe class 3 and above, would find their place in a jurisdiction like racing in Australia or New Zealand. I think a majority of our horses, which are sitting in class 4 and 5, would probably end up going to race from now through to the end of racing, over time go to race in Malaysia, other jurisdictions as well. It's a really difficult one to sort of get our minds around at this stage.
Michael, our thoughts are with yourself and everyone involved in the industry over there. It must just be an absolutely devastating time. Will you keep training?
Good question. At this stage, really would like to have seen my time out here in Singapore and probably done something else related to the industry thereafter. I can't answer that question at the moment. I really don't know, what the future holds. I think, we're obviously going to try and have some sort of push towards having some reasonable outcome to this. In other words, we don't believe that due diligence has been served in with regard to surveys and studies, with regard to closing down the industry here and the impact or the far-reaching impact that it's going to have on many people. We don't believe that it's really, been done properly. So, one of our options is going to be, to try and push for some kind of extension so that it is actually closed down properly and, with correct planning. That will be one of the things we'll be looking at. But obviously the decision's being made by the government, and that's going to be very difficult to turn around.
Michael, appreciate your time this morning. We'll keep in contact over the coming months as more details emerge about the packages that trainers and the workers get over there, and also the repatriation and the rehoming of the 700-plus horses that are currently in Singapore. It's going to be a massive, massive task. Good luck with it all, Michael.
Thank you so much.